back to the Profit Roadmap. As always, we're your hosts, Ryan and Becca, and this is the premier podcast created for field service pros to help you grow your business, stay on top of the latest trends, and help you provide even more value to the communities that you serve. Now, today, we're actually excited to welcome someone very near and dear to Becca and I's hearts. We've got Jesse Barrick, who is the Senior Vice President of Business Development here at Field Edge and Service Autopilot. Now, before joining our team here, he was actually in the HVAC industry for companies like Microff and Carrier. So Jesse is actually here today to share some unique insights that he's got, practices from service pros, how to handle many of the unique challenges we're all facing, potential recession, the challenging or changing behaviors of consumers, and then increased interest rates, so much more. Welcome to Profit Roadmap. Jesse, how are you doing today?
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, no, I'm doing great and really excited to be here and share some knowledge. And it's not my knowledge. It's just me being a good listener from our members and our partners. The industry, and I get to summarize it and share it back. So
awesome. That's very valuable though. All right. So Jesse, could you tell us a little bit about your background, sort of how you joined the Field Edge and Service Autopilot family and how you got here?
Yeah, that's perfect. And I'll keep it short. You mentioned that I was with Carrier. I was with Carrier in Florida on the distribution side for about 20 years. Really worked my way up from call center to my last role there was the vice president of sales and marketing for what was really one of the largest distributors in the world. Got the chance to learn a lot from the sales side, the marketing side, the contractor side that applies across the industry. And then I joined Microff about nine years ago. And they're a finance company that specializes in HVAC and helping homeowners get systems. And so my job there was very similar to my job here at Field Edge, which is, you know, working with partners and creating partnerships and creating opportunity for our members, you know, through partnerships that help improve our product. So joined Field Edge about a year and a half ago and just really loving it. You know, Field Edge for me is a great opportunity because we solve a lot of problems for our members or our contractors, customers. And so being able to solve those problems in the industry is what I've been about since I started. And so I'm really enjoying my time here and lots of runway still. So,
yeah, it's been fun. I can't believe it's already been over a year.
Yeah, almost 19 months.
Actually, I remember the email came through. It was like, welcome, Jesse Barrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Like
it was just the other day. But yeah, that is super exciting. So you've been in the industry for a while. Are there any specific data points or insights that you've gathered over the years that are just particularly interesting to you?
Yeah, I'm not going to say I've seen it all, but I've seen the cyclical nature of our industry, our contracting industry. You know, it's interesting. We're probably like neck deep in the third round in HVAC side anyways of consolidation where, you know, bigger money comes in and buys up local contractors, consolidates them and tries to develop that. I like the current one now because I think they tend to keep the existing owners on, which if you know anything about a local contractor, they're the ones with the relationships. They're the ones tied to the community. And so if the money comes in when they kick out the owner, it doesn't work very well. And so I think what we're seeing now is a good trend where it is working. Other than that, we see the same kind of economic trends going up and down. And I've been through, I don't know, this will probably be my third. I don't think we're going to have a recession, but the third sort of downturn or weird economic time in my career and all the challenges that go with that. And so, yeah, no, but I've seen how much it's grown from no technology to, you know, really starting to embrace technology and using technology, which is good. We're catching up to other industries and that's helpful. So
that's awesome. Interesting. Is that like an HVAC thing when you mention technology? Because I've heard that for previous guests. Is that a specific industry that's a little bit more behind on like integrating that into as far as just like field
service? Yeah, I think so. Some of it's subjective, but we've always been a little slower to adopt new technologies or new ways of going to market. Some of it has to do with the way customers relate, right? It's a skilled trade. You can't fix your own air conditioner typically. And so a lot of our customers have started out as technicians, which is totally needed. And then they became entrepreneurs afterwards. And so that true entrepreneurial spirit that you see where they're embracing the newness all the time tends to have been adopted a little slower in our industry, but it's catching up. And, you know, I used to compare it to the automotive industry a lot. And I used to feel like they were high tech, but quite honestly, they're not really that high tech either. So I think it's just the sign of the times. And then the software has caught up to the business now. And so the adoption's much higher than it used to be.
Were you ever in the car industry, Jesse?
I was not.
Okay. I did a brief stint in the car industry, and I can tell you, it was we used computers, but that was about as far as it went. The cars had all the tech.
I think it makes sense working for a tech company or a software company. You know, even ourselves, we're not as integrated as we would like to be. We're still using multiple systems and multiple platforms. I don't think it's just us. It's probably just a sign of technology is moving so fast it hasn't caught up with. It hasn't caught up with itself yet. So
fast. Like every year there's something. You know what? Mentioning cars, like cars are almost like computers now. Like it's just crazy.
They are
technology integrated.
I know when I first, I'm going to show my age, but when I was 16 and got my license, I got a car and I would get a junker and work on it until I couldn't, until it was something big like the engine or the transmission. Now you can't even change a tire without a computer because the sensors. So HVAC is definitely starting to go that route. So. And you know, the mower side, the green side too, robotic mowers are a huge deal. I remember going to Equip Expo last year and the whole show was robotic mowers and self-controlled and self-charging, and they follow their map and they mow the lawn for you. Now it's technology is really, really cool what we can do with it. It's just now figuring out how to. This isn't a technology podcast, by the way, but
I know. Well, sometimes like I go down like a random, I'll hear something and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let me go down that random squirrel moment. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll get back
to it.
It's all right. Eventually we're going to rebrand to an AI podcast. It comes up like it comes up every single episode. It's a joke now at this point, but like it's one of those things, like you were saying, like we're like, technology has been advancing so quickly. It's Moore's law, right? Like every year or whatever, like technology doubles. And I'm probably misquoting that, but like that's the idea. And I think it is super cool to see in all of the field services that we work with, the growth that they're having. So like robotic mowers and stuff. One time I was back in my training days, I was with a member and they had installed this like massive rooftop unit on top of like a bank. And like it had like full monitoring, they could like change the temperature in like all the rooms and like just like route air through it however they wanted to. And it was blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
See the things you can do.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the service business side. What sort of back to service businesses, what kind of competitive pressures are we seeing in the market? And this can be HVAC, it can be whatever.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a ton of pressure across the board this year. So, you know, I like to think we've had a lot of years of steady growth. The economy's been strong. And even during COVID with the stimulus packages and everything, you know, our industries, because they're service related and homeowners need us, right? They need their lawn mowed. They need their house cleaned. They need heating and cooling for sure, especially as hot as it is right now and as cold as it gets in the winter. And so, you know, I look at our industry, we've experienced quite a bit of growth. And then this year it's been a little different, right? We're struggling a little bit and it's nothing new, but it certainly is probably new to some of our members and new to some of our team members. And because it's the first time in a while that we've seen sort of this downturn or pre-recession or whatever you want to call it in the economy. And it's created a different dynamic in competitiveness, right? If you're a larger company who was struggling to find employees, maybe you're now able to continue to scale and grow and you find more employees versus a smaller company who's finding it a little harder to compete right now with costs going up and so forth. So creates a different dynamic for sure.
Yeah. And if we flip that on its head, instead of looking about the challenges that contractors are facing, How do you think that consumers are changing with everything that's going on?
Yeah, I think it's really not brain surgery to figure out that consumers are a little nervous, right? Because everybody who's owns a business or runs a business is also a consumer at some point in their mm-hmm. life. And they're feeling, we're feeling the same things that our consumers are, right? They're seeing interest rates going through the roof. They're feeling the pressure at the grocery store and at the gas pump and everywhere else where inflation has hit us strong. And they're feeling that fear of, are we going into a recession? What does that mean for me? And so their buying habits are changing, right? We're in a very weird time, though, unique somewhat to history, because there's these positive pressures that are keeping us out of that, in that consumer confidence is still pretty high. Buying is still pretty high, even with the cost. I think unemployment is pretty low, and it's at kind of the lowest it's ever been. And pent-up demand is still there from the, you know, period of time where we were all locked in our house for a couple of years. So I think those competing economic pressures are really creating some interesting behavior in consumers. And I think they're making decisions. They're being more conservative, right? They're not just spending money like crazy. They're thinking about it first, and they're slower to respond, and maybe they're shopping a little more. And so, yeah, I think consumer buying behavior is exactly what we'd expect during a uncertain economic time. I don't think this is going to be, you know, as bad as we've experienced. Our friends at Hardy provide us with a lot of data that shows the economy's overall doing okay. Like, yes, we have all these negative pressures, but we have all these positive pressures that are keeping it going. And I would expect that to continue to improve this year and into next year. And we should be able to stay out of a recession. But you're still going to see that difference in consumer buying behavior.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I've got an optimistic outlook on the economy as a whole.
Yeah.
Do you think that, so one of the things that you mentioned was that consumers, I'm going to paraphrase, they're sort of buying with more intent. And so with that, do you think that we're seeing a shift in the way that service businesses kind of put their best foot forward, or like the strategies that they're implementing?
I definitely do. You know, in the HVAC world, I had dinner with a HVAC contractor, a friend of mine, last night, and he was saying that his customers are shopping. They weren't shopping for the longest time. They were just calling him and going, I need a new system, put it in. Like, how soon can you do it? And now they're getting two or three bids again. They're leaning more towards repairing their system versus replacing their system. And we're seeing that quite a bit in the HVAC. We also see that in our work orders volume, by the way. Our work orders are that flow through Field Edge are changing from, you know, big ticket replacement work orders to much more service work orders, smaller tickets, but more of them, that type of thing. You know, on the lawn care side, we do see a little bit of contraction, right? Like, if you're a homeowner and you're feeling the pressure, one of the first things to go maybe is your lawn service. And so for our lawn care and green customers, most successful customers are having to pivot their business, and they're offering different services. They're offering more hardscaping because they're not, you know, they don't have that bread and butter kind of cutting the lawn and trimming the hedges every week. And so they're having to find other ways to fill in that business. And, you know, I think about, we had a really popular webinar in our Field Services Academy. I think it was last week, Ryan, where they talked about Christmas lights and how that was a great shift. It's things like that that our contractors are having to think about in order to stay competitive and stay growing. But even with that, you know, we are seeing a little bit of contraction with some of the contractors. And I think that's smart, right? You know, to pay attention to that and watch the market and watch your costs. So
that was going to be one of my questions. Is with this happening, that people are trying to, or businesses are having to find ways to be more creative and get more engaged with their clients. And I know I've seen it on the service autopilot side too, like people offering different pricing structures or like discounts if you sign up for an annual program or things like that. So it's been interesting to see the shift and how businesses have to compete more and keep those clients that they have.
Yeah, I think it's right. And it's been a little bit of a struggle for him, Becca. It's a really good point. So, you know, one of the things that I've been kicking around for a long time, and a lot of my roles involve marketing. And the first tendency is always to kind of cut back on marketing when things are tough, like they are right now, or when consumer confidence. And I think we're seeing that that's happening with many of our members. The problem we're seeing is that it's the wrong thing to do. And many of our members are not doubling down, but they're definitely still putting pressure and using marketing and using a wider range of marketing in order to keep driving it. Whereas the ones who are cutting back are the ones who are struggling, because, you know, no matter what we've talked about, consumer confidence and how consumers are being more conservative, the fact remains that we are still a much needed product, right? Like I need my lawn mower every single week. I need my air conditioning service when it's 99 outside and it breaks. I don't have that option as a homeowner. I may not be seeking it out, but there's still a huge market for the services that our members provide. And so, you know, we're really seeing like the ones who are staying aggressive and keeping up with marketing, but really focusing in on the right ROIs and the right way to do marketing, not just dumping all their money into SEO, but really getting creative with unique ways to hit the marketplace. Those are the ones who are continuing to grow and succeed in a challenging market, where the ones who have said, oh, the market's slowing down, I need to cut costs, and that conservative approach has really started to cost them in shrinking business. So,
because it's like piggybacking off of that, like what are some like examples of creative ways, like not just, you said, listening to SEO, just like, is it your trucks? Is it the t-shirts? Is it those visual walking advertisements that your team can be?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's social media has become a really big part of localized marketing now. I think there's, and it's much less expensive than SEO, also much quicker to react to. So I think social media, and then my perception of the trend is that we all really got caught up in the digital advertising world in the past 7 years, maybe. And we've all shifted all our money from offline media, as I would call it, to digital media. And we've forgotten that offline media still works. Postcards still work. You know, radio still works sometimes. We have to get smarter about it. YouTube is a great method. And not making that transition and understanding that we still need kind of an overall approach to marketing. You can't just market in one way. You have to market in many ways. You have to cast a wide net, but very smartly. That I think is the advice that I see, and our agency partners like Optic Marketing have shared with me that they're doing all kinds of creative things to augment the SEO. Don't pull out of SEO, but certainly look at the ROI, look at your lead cost, and make sure you're spending money in other areas to, you know, complement what you're doing there. So,
yeah, and that's something that working in Academy, we've seen. One of the strategies that's in place there, we call it dominate your market, but it's like owning a neighborhood, right? So for like whether it's, you know, a cleaning business, a plumbing business, lawn care, whatever it is, like just your trucks being there, like has an impact. So like make sure your trucks look good, make sure you're on the side, make sure there's a number for people to call. It's not all just Facebook marketing. Because with like Facebook and stuff, like you have to keep dumping money into it for it to keep spitting money back out.
That's right.
But you know, you pay a little bit, wrap your trucks once, and that'll last you for probably a few years.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just really measuring the ROI of those activities, all of them, right? And it's hard to measure your truck ROI, but it really is to track where your leads are coming from. Mm-hmm. And if it's calling the number on your truck versus calling the number on Facebook, I think all those are great ways to do it. But understanding where your leads are coming from is super important.
Right? Yeah, that's huge. So if you're using Field Edge, make sure you're using your lead sources. Don't skip over it.
That's right.
I don't know the Service Autopilot equivalent of that, but Yeah, it's crucial.
Yes.
Ways to track in both softwares.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it's just track it. You have to know where that money's coming from, so where to keep putting it. So
that's right.
And your reports. I'm sure Field Edge the same. Like, your reports are so important, and we always emphasize, like, the data you put in to Service Autopilot or Field Edge, like, take the time to get accurate numbers, because those reports for pooling, like, you put, like, we have a trainer named Scott. He says this. He has a saying, like, junk in is junk out. So if you're putting just like random numbers, we're not going to be able to give you the accurate numbers you need to run your business efficiently. So
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're using Field Edge or Service Autopilot, like, whatever you're using, track that stuff.
Right. Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Know your numbers.
Honestly, I think that's a great segue into, you know, another thing that I think successful contractors are doing right now to capitalize on that, which is tracking KPIs in maybe a much more meaningful way than they have in the past. You don't need to track KPIs when you have more sales than you can, you know, what to do with. But when the market tightens up like it is right now, you know, really measuring every aspect of your business and driving results in those important areas is a huge deal. And so to me, marketing ROI is a KPI, right? Measuring the effectiveness of your marketing is a KPI, but measuring the effectiveness of your sales team is also a KPI. You know, how many calls are they going on? What's their closing ratio? What's their upgrade percentage? What's their dollar per sale? Measuring the KPIs for your techs and their performance, you know, how many calls are they going on versus how long are they staying? What's the revenue per call? You know, are they upselling on those calls? Because every call, when there's fewer calls, every call becomes more important. And so, you know, I think about measuring KPIs, you know, on the green side, you know, how's your route density? Are you hitting enough in the right area in order to maximize each crew that you're sending out on a day-to-day basis? Or do you need to look at your routes and adjust in order to, you know, maximize the amount of revenue you get in the amount of time you're sending them out? And so KPIs are super important, and maybe it's a little self-serving because both of our softwares are great at measuring KPIs or developing and measuring KPIs, but it's absolutely crucial in a time like now where every dollar counts, every cost counts, and every lead really counts to keep an eye on those KPIs as a business owner or a manager and making sure that you're maximizing every part of your business so that you're still growing and you're staying strong and you're covering your overhead and making money at those times. I think it's really a key right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And rewind, if you're the person that's Googling what KPI should I track, rewind the podcast and listen to what Jesse just said, because he named off a bunch of really important stuff.
Yeah, it's not my job or my place to tell you what the KPI should be, for sure. I'm a sales guy.
Yeah. I mean, but
certainly, like, measuring those things and looking at them are very important.
For sure. Absolutely. And, like, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, like, knowing how much you're making on calls, knowing what services are profitable, like, that's stuff that's going to carry you to success regardless of where you're at.
Yeah.
So, like, looking at, like, things like what are maybe services that are better upsells than, you know, straight sales.
That's,
you know,
right.
Like, things of that nature. Like, knowing what those services are is something that can really, really help you.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you do need an additional resource, you know, I reference in Field Services Academy, but we have a lot of great partners who it is their place and they've earned the right to suggest great KPIs and teach great KPIs. And there's a lot of content available in there that is consumable anytime to, you know, figure out, like, what should I be measuring in my business, and whether it's green or housekeeping or plumbing or pools or HVAC. There's, you know, really standard KPIs that they can grab from there to start implementing and driving their business with.
Mm-hmm. Service Autopilot side, I'm on Field Edge, I'm not sure. We have certified advisors or trainers, and I'm sure Academy helps with that too, as far as, like, developing KPI. Or, and if you don't know what that means, I don't know if we said it, it's key performance indicator for any of those who are listening.
Yep.
That's what a KPI is.
I like that, Becca. Thank you. I use the term way too much, but it is.
It's a daily thing for us.
For sure. For sure.
With that, on the flip side, though, is there anything, like, anything else financially businesses should be doing, especially with equipment. That's something I never really thought about, or assets. Like, do we really need to go out and get that latest and greatest piece of a cool like truck or equipment or more, whatever, or can we like deal or settle, maintain what we have for now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great question. And it's probably one that I'm not qualified to answer totally, because sometimes it would make more sense to buy equipment that you need in a down cycle, because you can get it, you get more life out of it. You might be able to take advantage of a manufacturer or distributor promo because they're trying to move equipment during a slower time. And so there might be a reason to do that now. There also might very well be a reason to, you know, tighten the belt and not spend as much money and focus on preventative maintenance and getting a little more life out of that equipment. So I think the only thing I could suggest there is it's another one of those KPIs to measure, or another thing to measure in the business to make sure, is this the right time to buy a new piece of equipment? You know, should I be adding a trailer? And if business is good, the answer is probably yes. But if it's slower, maybe you can get more out of the crews that you have, or the technicians that you have, to really focus on just driving more revenue per the heads that you have or the resources that you have. So great question, Becca. I mean, I don't know the answer, but it's something to do the research on and find the answer for your business.
Yeah, food for thought.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't take total credit for that. We are great producers. Give us some information, but yes. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. They're listening to us record this. Hey, thanks, guys. Jesse, you just mentioned maintenance. So I want to broaden that a little bit for industries maybe that aren't HVAC. So on the HVAC side, things like preventative maintenance, those are like recurring services where you'll go out and do stuff. And that's really the core of it. It's like it's a recurring service. You think of it mm-hmm. almost like a subscription. How important do you think those are in slower periods, like what we're kind of seeing?
I don't know. I just, maybe I'll use an example is I have about 7 streaming services right now for TV shows that I don't even watch TV, mm-hmm. but I'm paying for somewhere around 7. I just had this conversation with my daughter and I just keep paying for them. Right. And there's an entire industry started through Rocket Mortgage purchased the company, and they're offering a service to find the subscriptions you forgot and cancel them. And so not suggesting we take advantage of our customers here, but subscriptions are a real key for recurring revenue and recurring business. And so, you know, on the HVAC side, we've talked for years about the value of service agreements and, helping us balance our cash flow throughout the year, not just seasonally. All our work doesn't have to happen in August when it's 110 outside. We should be able to balance our work across the whole spectrum. And I think, you know, I live in Florida, so lawn care is important to me all year round, right? I need it. It does go dormant in January and February, but I still need my lawn service to come out. And so to me, like, just charge me every month. I don't want to have to think about it. Set up a recurring payment, and I will never call you to cancel. I'm going to let you keep coming even in the months where you only have to come once or twice. If you do lawn care and snow removal, right? I'm just going to pay you the same amount and you handle all of it, you know, all the time. Handling that through recurring payments is out of sight, out of mind. And it's just much harder to think about changing companies or canceling because it's easy for me, right? I made a decision. As long as my provider is providing good customer service and they come out when I need them, I'm probably never going to cancel that subscription. I'm just going to keep paying. And I think in good times, you probably have all the business you can handle. And so you're worried about too many subscriptions, or you might be worried about too many subscriptions. But during times like this, the more of those you can have to balance out your workforce and your productivity and your capacity is just key. And so, you know, payment providers like us, like our sister company, Clarient, have made it so easy to set up recurring payments. And so if my you know, lawn service billed me on a recurring payment, $150 a month, I would never question it. I would just never think twice about it. So I think it's really important. It's always been important, not just now. But I think it's even more important now to do that. We've become a subscription society. And so there's a trend in the HVAC industry called leasing, where you actually never buy your system. You just pay a monthly payment for the system, and that includes all your maintenance, filters, and you pay for that until the system dies, and then you get a new system and keep paying for it. It's really like a monthly service to use your HVAC system. Now, it hasn't totally taken hold, where America is not a society where we want to just keep paying for things. We like to think we're going to own it at some point. Mm-hmm. But it has taken off, you know, in a much bigger way than we think. And again, it's that recurring payments. It's the peace of mind knowing that I'm paying this every month and it's going to happen. So being able to do that is huge. So yeah. The other thing that's really important right now is being able to offer financing options. You know, as consumers tighten their belt, maybe they've run out of savings a little bit because things have gotten a little more costly. They still need the services. And so having the ability to finance a new HVAC system or finance the work that they want in their yard for tree, our tree company partners. Tree removal is expensive for a homeowner. And if you need to do it to prevent some damage, being able to finance that is really important, or being able to finance that patio project that you've been wanting to do is really important. So offering payments and offering finance options are more important now than they ever were.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely taking hold, because I know, like, for my phone, for instance, if you have a product, it's good quality, give me that new iPhone.
That's right.
I'll pay the month to month, because I'll pay it off eventually, but then I'll you know, upgrade or get the next one, something. So it's I see it in the HVAC and lawn care service industry too, that something that will take
hold. And phone companies have figured it out.
They have figured it out.
They certainly have.
I think part of that is like being able to finance something, or like being able to join into a subscription service, like really lowers that barrier of entry where people are worried about cost and whatnot. So it's like, well, hey, if I could pay $25-$30, whatever it is, this month and the next month and the month after that, instead of paying, you know, $150 for you to come out twice a year to do like an HVAC maintenance. I'm just throwing numbers out for the sake of the argument. But like that's something that's really enticing. I was reading a report, I think it was from Harvard Business Review. Don't quote me on it. If I can find it, I'll link it in the show notes. But it was talking about like the buying patterns generationally. So looking at the way that millennials, baby boomers, and now Gen Z sort of enters the workforce and has money to spend, like when they're looking at stuff, how are they buying it? And with millennials and Gen Z, that seems to be a trend, is like subscriptions and that lower barrier of entry, even if it's a slightly higher cost in the long run, is something that seems to be taking hold. And as part of that group, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, for sure. We all are, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting with subscriptions and payments, though, because, I mean, by the way, those of you listening, let's just plug Clarent, SA Payments, BillDutch Payments, sign up, credit card processing. Because I speak to a few people on my training calls who are still doing like cash and check, and it's like, I'm struggling here. I'm hounding to get my money to get paid. I'm like, oh man, I need to. So like even strategies on converting their clients who are so used to paying by cash or check to credit card, I'm sure everyone has their reason, but if you can do it, I just seen how it makes such a huge difference in your revenue. Income.
Yeah. And Becca, I think you brought up a really good point about collections in general. Like having to collect on that service that you provide every single month is a productivity waste. I mean, it's a time suck.
It's a huge cost.
You don't collect on it. And so if you have those payments set up automatically, you know, people worry about the cost of financing or the cost of a credit card swipe. Yes, calculate it into your overhead, but at the same time, the cost of not collecting is so much more. And so using those payments, are great. And you put the plug in for Clarent. I will too. It's a great solution. you know, I love our pricing is very aggressive on that side. So there's really no excuse not to do it. So
I agree. Yeah, the labor costs to having someone sit down and try to call and collect people when you could either take payment on site or just have them pay online.
Yeah.
Going back to the generational thing, guys, like I don't want to pick up the phone and give you my credit card number. But if you send me an email and it's like, give us the money that you owe us, like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So
it's not a generational thing. I've stopped buying
it. Okay. Okay.
I can't buy it online. I just don't buy it anymore.
I think paranoid with cybersecurity. I'm like, I'm not giving you my phone, my credit card or the phone or mailing this in. And no, it's like, yeah.
But convenience wins every time.
Yes, it does.
Listen, I think the Explore IT team has got me trained pretty good with cybersecurity. Every now and then they'll send out little emails that are like tests, and if you get it wrong, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And like, and then they'll send you a training video, and they're like, this is anyway, cybersecurity very important. And when it comes to processing credit cards, obviously more so. So
for sure.
Clearing is compliant and secure and all that stuff, just to be clear. I don't want to
very, very,
blur any lines with that. They're
very secure.
They take that so seriously.
So seriously, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And we have to.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
Yeah.
All right. So thinking about the future, looking at like even the second half of this year, what sort of industry shifts and trends do you potentially see happening?
Yeah, I'm not, if I had a crystal ball, first of all, I wouldn't. And I'm certainly not, you know, an economist who has like this, you know, vastly detailed view. I would expect that we would experience some more of the same throughout the rest of this year, just sort of additional consumer, you know, fears, additional consumer kind of conservative actions, and certainly, you know, some slight improvement from an economy standpoint, or at least not any worse. And so, you know, I think if we've done a really good job kind of managing the change in the beginning of this year, that should help us, you know, continue to go in through the back half of the year. If we don't feel like we've done a great job managing the change in the beginning of the year, then it's definitely time to go back to the basics and fundamentals and start looking at what you can do to continue to succeed and thrive in this sort of uncertain times, I guess is how I would put it. So certainly not in disastrous times. I think we've all lived through worse times, you know. I certainly haven't managed, but we've all lived through tougher times, but it doesn't mean this one's not tough, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't react accordingly. So I would say just buckle down and take a look at the things you need to do in your business to ride this out for the next 6 to 24 months. So
beautiful. And if you do find that crystal ball, can you give it to the weatherman?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. You know what?
Cool. Definitely.
Yeah.
Ugh. We'll keep it to myself from a finance standpoint to the weatherman so we have more reliable weather.
You know what you do? You lease it to the weatherman.
There you go.
Perfect. There it is. There it is.
That's what a smart lease it out. See?
Full circle. Full circle.
That is hilarious. I mean, I guess even speaking on weather, even that's an impact. Like you see that we have some droughts in some cities. It's gotten better, I know, out west and things like that. But just there's so much that impacts our service business folks out here. So definitely, yeah.
The good news, Becca, is that everything we've talked about, all the blocking and tackling and the fundamentals that we've talked about on this call, and that our partners, you know, our partners preach through Field Service Academy, all of that is applicable no matter what the challenge is that you face, you know? So
I love that. There you have it. I was going to try to find a way to plug in AI in here somewhere, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to work. But I guess if there's any other, like, what was the question? Like, future of the industry, just maybe robots will be doing everything one day.
AI robots. I definitely think that there is some of that. And I'm a little conservative about AI. It's kind of creepy. I guess I watched too much Terminator in my younger days, but AI is definitely a little bit creepy. And I still think, despite what I said about me only wanting to buy things online, and despite, kind of all of these trends and changes, I still want to know the service provider that I'm working with, who I'm letting into my yard, into my home, near my families. And so I don't know how fast those things will change for us. I think, service providers, we have a very intimate relationship with them. And so, having those members on our platforms that are trustworthy and that matters still, even and above AI. So I'm probably not doing you any favors because you want to talk AI.
Oh, no. Making you're right. You're... against
it to some extent. It's an open platform for it. We're not sponsored by AI, so it's okay.
Yeah. That's a good point, though, because I guess that's another thing businesses, as we're in this competitive market now, should keep in mind. It's just how you treat your people, your clients, just that kindness. We have a pest control guy that comes by and he'll talk to my mom about music and the oldies and all of that. And that makes a difference between going with someone else.
Just, it definitely does.
Someone can connect with. So absolutely agree with that.
I mean, and he's in your home with your pets and your children and your mom, that's somebody who you want to be able to trust and have a relationship with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And regardless of technology and everything, all the enhancements in AI and everything of that, at the end of the day, we're service businesses, right? So without that service, it doesn't matter. So yeah, providing that service and doing it well is key.
I think we could have narrowed this whole podcast to that one sentence, Ryan. I think just continue to provide that high level of customer service and keep sending your messages out and keep delivering, good value service. And I think, we're going to weather any storm.
So for any service businesses getting started out there, is there anything, any other advice you would give them, encouragements, not just, on the business side, but maybe on the personal side, things like that, that they can be doing or taking into account? And how can they be successful right now in this economy? A lot of what we spoke about helps, but
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of what we spoke about helps, but fundamentally, if you're just starting out or if you've been in 30 years in business, 30 years, I'm a firm believer that I don't know everything. I don't even know anything. So asking for help from my partners, asking for help from my peers, asking for help from a network of, professionals who have been through what I'm going through, I think is always a good choice. Ultimately the blocking and tackling and the fundamentals and taking care of our customers are the things that are going to set us apart. But there's a ton of challenges. Our business has gotten a lot more complex. And just making sure that you lean on a peer group to help you with those challenges and not being afraid to ask. Because, if you're just starting out, you won't have all the answers. And if you've been in business 30 years, like me, you get cocky and you think you know everything. And you definitely don't know everything. And so you still need to reach out for help. And so, finding that group of, again, partners, professionals, peers, industry associates, or just good, solid business fundamental folks to answer those questions and help you through the tough times, I think is vitally important. Don't be afraid to ask.
And on that note, Jesse, talking more about my regular day job, because this is only part of it, right? We're working on building that community.
That's right.
Through Field Services Academy, which we've mentioned a few times through this podcast. But Field Services Academy, that's basically exactly what we're going to do with it.
Yeah, I think it's such a great place to, because we're not experts. I think Ryan, you and I have talked about it when we were putting together Field Services Academy. We're not the experts, but we know them all. We know who the experts in the industry are. We know who the experts are in the green space and the cleaning space. And we also know that our members are awesome. I mean, they've run awesome businesses and grown. And, we have a network of biggest badasses on the service autopilot side who I've gotten to know over the last year and just love, and they're so intelligent about business and excited to help others. You know, I'm excited about that, just creating that network where they all can have that common place. If you need help on hiring, we have professionals in there that can help you in hiring. And if you need help on, you know, financials, we have experts in there that can help with financials or KPIs. It's a great place to do that. And then I definitely don't want to undercut the importance of just the networking that's in there between the members in the peer group. So I think it's a great plug and a great thought, because we're trying to create this environment where that all can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm really curious, because I'm not too involved in that side with the academy. Is it still being like, I know you're still building it out. Is it going to be like an open forum kind of thing where people can come watch online, in person, a mix of everything?
Yeah, I think at its foundation, we have a lot of partners who are training and consulting and coaching organizations who are providing content. Also service providers, you know, who have been doing this a long time, they're providing content around marketing or hiring. And the members of Service Autopilot, Field Services Academy, can join, and they can consume all that content. They can ask questions of each other and other members. It is an open forum. It's actually on like a social media type platform where they can consume the content and interact with each other and find what they need and search. And so it's really a unique kind of situation. And part of, you know, my position is being in a unique position. I told you earlier, like, I'm not the smart guy. I'm the one who listens to our partners and our members. And so it was really fun to put those partners and members together in a way that is beneficial to both. And we just kind of, I think I told somebody the other day, Field Service Academy is like the dinner table and our partners are the dinner.
I like that.
We provide the place.
Feels setting. A little Jurassic Park, but I know where you're going with it.
And we provide the silverware and the wine glasses and the fancy napkins.
Yep.
And our partners provide the 5-star dining that goes on the plate. And I think and the members. And so I think it's a really cool place to be.
Yep. And if you are curious about Field Services Academy, because it does come up on this podcast, because it's awesome. I'm not biased, you know, it's like I said, it's most of where my efforts focused or anything, but like, genuinely, like it's something that like I'm very proud of, myself, Jesse, and the rest of the team have been putting together. So if you are curious on learning more about Field Services Academy, reach out to your CSM. They should be able to get you pointed in the right direction. And the benefit is you'll get to see more of my face and you'll learn a thing or two along the way.
And you don't have to see much of my face still. So
yeah, Jesse does a lot of the background stuff.
Any final thoughts to leave anyone with before I close this out?
Usually I close it out with the AI question, but Jesse, I do want to thank you. I know your schedule gets pretty crazy, so the chance to be able to sit down and talk with you has been pretty great outside of like the meetings that we have scheduled normally, but yeah.
I used to put a face to the name myself, so yeah, this is great.
Well, and it's been a lot of fun for me too, and hopefully you know, the folks listening are going to get some value out of this and some ideas that they can implement to continue to grow and thrive during our crazy year that we're having.
Sounds good.
Jesse, thank you again so much for being a guest with us on the Profit Roadmap. If anyone listening, people want to learn more, I feel like I know the answer to this already, but if people want to know more about you and how to get started with Field Edge and Service Autopilot, where should they look?
I think calling your CS is a great start. If you want to reach out to me directly, my email address is jesse.barrick@exploretechnologies.com. Feel free to reach out. I love to have conversations and learn what we could do better to provide more value to our members. You know, which partners we don't have in the platform that we need and what we can do from a software standpoint to make it better or what other services we can provide. So, but really your CS is always going to be your first first line of defense when you need them.
Let's use that. Yes. Yeah. Contact your CSOs. And thank you so much for listening to the Profit Roadmap. And remember, you can listen to this show on all major streaming platforms, including Apple, YouTube, Spotify, and more. Be sure to visit our show notes at serviceautopilot.com/podcast to get the links to all the topics we discussed in today's show. If you have any questions, if you have recommendations, or want to be on the show yourself, email us at profitroadmap@exploretechnologies.com. Explore is spelled X-P-L-O-R. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell a friend. Adios.
All right. Later, guys. Jesse, thank you so much.